Getting health care reform legislation enacted this year is my top priority. It is number one. In preparation for this effort, the Finance Committee last year held 10 hearings on issues critical to the debate. I knew Congress wasn't doing much last year, so I took advantage of that by holding a lot of hearings, 10 of them, on health care reform, exploring different aspects of health care. It's not driving any ideology. It's just trying to get the facts, trying to educate the committee, because I knew 2009 is going to be a big, big year, and I wanted the committee to be up and ready, wanted to get ahead of the curve, and that's the reason for all those hearings.
That's Senator Max Baucus, the chairman of the Finance Committee. Baucus released a white paper in November detailing his plan for reform. He also was working with Senator Ted Kennedy, the chairman of the Health, Labor, Education, and Pensions Committee, to address health care reform together. John McDonough is a staff member on Kennedy's committee. He says there's a third piece to this puzzle as well.
We see this as the top priority for the year after the stimulus package, and we're working aggressively toward that goal, and we want to give the administration time to weigh in and express their preferences in terms of how they want to relate to this process.
Baucus, McDonough, and others addressed health care reform recently during the National Health Policy Conference in Washington. House lawmakers, too, recognize the imperative to fix the country's health care system. Sybil Bjorklund is a staff director on the House Ways and Means Subcommittee on Health. She says three key House committees have a similar goal as the Senate's.
But a similar commitment among the three pivotal committees in the House side, that's Ways and Means, Energy and Commerce, and Education and Labor. You have chairmen at each of those committees who have a deep and abiding commitment at the full committee and subcommittee level to the goal of coverage for all, and affordable, comprehensive coverage at that. And many of them have gone through this effort before and view this as the really best chance we have right now to move forward, with the president having spent a lot of his political capital during the campaign talking about this, getting here. He's ready to go.
Congressman Javier Becerra says the government's role in this reform effort is more than just passing laws.
To me, the fundamentals of healthcare reform are very simple. Universal coverage. If you can't get to universal coverage, you may as well forget it, because you're not going to look for efficiencies. You're not going to look for good health outcomes if you can't say that you will ensure that every single American has access to the initial stage of healthcare that we need. Secondly, whatever we do, I believe there must be a public option. If we do a system of health care reform, whether you call it Medicare, Medicaid, SCHIP, Veterans Health Care, you lump all those programs together, they are what keep our health care system afloat, because they provide the fulcrum that lets the rest of the system move forward.
Becerra says the Department of Health and Human Services will be front and center.
You can't have health care reform without hearing from HHS and understanding what HHS believes will be the role of the government and the role of the various programs that are already in place, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, SCHIP, veterans programs, or the private sector. And so HHS will become the principal receptacle for information that then gets conveyed to the Congress.
He adds that HHS will continue to play a huge part in the use of health information technology. The stimulus bill includes more than $19 billion for health IT. But Bjorklund adds Medicare and Medicaid will be key participants in making health IT a reality.
The bulk of the spending for health IT in both chambers is using the mandatory programs, Medicare and Medicaid, to advance adoption. And this was something that we were given dispensation because they viewed it as a down payment toward health reform and a needed run-up time to get things in place so that we could be achieving long-term savings through its implementation. So while it's true the mandatory money doesn't start flowing till 2011, we've got a two-year ramp-up with a bolus of initial money out there to get going for use. And let me make clear, this is not just purchasing a certified system. This is using. We have use requirements in here. And as a result, the whole system that we've set up here really has an opportunity, I think, to bring some transformative change to our healthcare sector.
But Bjorklund adds that the Congressional Budget Office estimates that the government could save $12 billion by applying health IT to the Medicare and Medicaid programs. Becerra adds that Medicare and Medicaid also are the foundational programs for a single-payer health system run by the government.
Well, I'm one of those who believes a single-payer has life. I believe it has life because I've seen nothing that does it more efficient, provides health care more efficiently, and gives you an option.
However, Baucus says the idea of a single-payer system is not well-supported in the Senate. This is just one of many health care issues that need to be resolved before there is reform. But both houses of Congress expect a bill to be taken up later this year. Baucus says this effort is different than most legislation because no health care law or program is expiring.
We're creating legislation to provide for a national health care reform system. And that means we've got to work harder up front to create the initiative and momentum to make it happen. To answer your question, early and certainly this session of this Congress, not next session of this Congress, because we have to get momentum to really make this work. Seize the opportunity.
Becerra adds that the House likely will pass some legislation by summer and then give the Senate a template to work from. Jason Miller, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.